Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Would you please stand either in body or spirit for the call to worship? Sing joyful songs to God.
Hallelujah. We are Easter people.
God has worked miracles.
Jesus is our joy.
Sing joyful songs to God.
Hallelujah. We are Easter people.
God's love for us lasts forever.
Jesus makes us into friends.
Sing joyful songs to God.
Hallelujah. We are Easter people.
Good morning, and welcome to First United Methodist Church on Mother's Day.
Yay!
Please hold it down. Okay.
It is indeed a beautiful day to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. We invite you to find the attendance registration pads, which should be at the end of the pew. If you wouldn't mind putting your name in that and then pass it down, take a look at the names of the other people sitting with you, and enjoy knowing who you're worshiping with this morning. There are some prayer cards tucked into the pocket of the pew that is in front of you, if you would like to find that. And if you have a prayer concern or a praise, or just want to send us a little note, jot it down on that card. Later on, you'll have an opportunity to either bring that forward or hand it to one of our ushers who will bring that for you.
Let us unite in our historic confession of the Christian faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Let us pray. Gracious God, on this day of the festival of the Christian home, the celebration of Mother's Day, the witness to the eternal love of Christ, remind us that we are responsible for caring for each other. We are called to lift up rather than tear down, to support rather than abandon, to reach out when others have turned away. Give us hearts of love that in all places and times we may be a witness to the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated.
We are very privileged this morning to have an opportunity to share with you the youngsters of our congregation, those children who have been in the third and fourth grades during this last year. We have a special presentation to make to all of them of their new Bibles. Now, starting next fall, we're going to kind of do this a little bit differently, and children will receive a Bible as they enter into third grade. But today we just want to make sure that all of those children are ending their school year with the Bible that will help them to know God as they progress forward in their school life. So we are going to invite these children to come forward, and if they would just come on up here, we have a special Bible for you. So please honor James Scott Ballard. Where are you, James? Oh, there he is. He's busy. We've got him working. James, this is your new Bible. Congratulations. I'm going to shake your hand. Good job. Luke Davis Lynn. There he is. Hi, Luke. Come on up here. Here, how about if I go on this side? Yeah. I believe that she's not able to be in worship today, but we have a Bible for Bridget McNamee. Is Bridget here? And Zachary McCracken. I believe he also is unable to be here today. Carly Patterson. Where are you, Carly? Here she comes. Hi, Carly. Annalise Marie Reinhardt. Is Annalise here? No? Looks like she wasn't able to be here today. Brenna Smith. Here comes Brenna. And Blake Tabor. I know Blake's here. I talked to him earlier. Oh, here he is. We've got him working too. These are all of our students who are completing third grade. Let's acknowledge all of our third graders. And now our fourth graders. Atalia Frazzini, I believe, is out of town today. Elijah Mayorga. Elijah, are you here? Here he is.
All right. Hey, Elijah, good job, man.
Brenton Tabor. Is Brent here, Blake? Brent's not able to be here today. Kayla Bogschutz is actually a fifth grader. Good job, Kayla.
Hey, Kayla.
Another fifth grader is Ricardo Fernandez Lopez. Is Ricardo here? No? And we have one sixth grader, Carter Thomas Patterson. Yay, Carter. Would you please acknowledge our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is she here?
Thank you very much.
And I believe that Annalisa is here. Did Annalise arrive? We just oh, there she is. Oh, come on up. Hi, Annalise. We are so glad you're here. You look so pretty.
All right.
There you go. Now, would you congratulate all of our young people receiving their Bibles today? And now, if you would join me in prayer as we pray over these young people. Lord God, we ask your blessings upon all of these, your children, and upon the Bibles that have been provided for them. Bless them. Help them learn. Help them grow. Let them know that they are your precious children and that you have something to teach them every day of their lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The first reading this morning is a reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. I will be reading from the Common English Bible. A competent wife, how does one find her? Her value is far above pearls. Her husband entrusts his heart to her, and with her he will have all he needs. She brings him good and not trouble all the days of her life. She seeks out wool and flax. She works joyfully with her hands. She is like a fleet of merchant ships bringing food from a distance. She gets up while it is still night, providing food for her household, even some for her female servants. She surveys a field and acquires it. From her own resources, she plants a vineyard. She works energetically. Her arms are powerful. She realizes that her trading is successful. She doesn't put out her lamp at night. She puts her hands to the spindle. Her palms grasp the whirl. She reaches out to the needy. She stretches out her hands to the poor. She doesn't fear for her household when it snows because they are all dressed in warm clothes. She makes bedspreads for herself. Fine linen and purple are her clothing. Her husband is known in the city gates when he sits with the elders of the land. She makes garments and sells them. She supplies sashes to the traders. Strength and honor are her clothing. She is confident about the future. Her mouth is full of wisdom. Kindly teaching is on her tongue. She is vigilant over the activities of her household. She doesn't eat the food of laziness. Her children bless her. Her husband praises her. Many women act competently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let her share in the results of her work. Let her deeds praise her in the city gates. The word of God for the people of God.
We come now to that point in our service when we hold up our joys and concerns to the Lord. And so today we are happy and we are thankful for mothers. Now, if everyone who had a mother, would you please hold up your hand? All right, that's the one thing that we all have in common. Not all of us were actual mothers, but we have all had a mother. Whether we even if we didn't for some reason know who that was or not, we live in a world where all sorts of things are possible. But I just want to say just to acknowledge not only those who are mothers, but those who mother out of love, and there that fits a lot of different descriptions: scout leaders, teachers, Sunday school teachers, pastors, choir directors, drill sergeants in the Marines, all do mothering in one way or another. We're going to talk a little bit more about it in the children's sermons, but congratulations to all those who are graduating from school this year, and we keep them in our prayers, and especially those who received Bibles this morning, that they may use those Bibles and read them and get to know the Word of God better and better. We also have some concerns this morning for those who are fighting cancer and other illnesses, and we have several in this congregation, those who are fighting addiction, have family issues of one type or another, for the leadership of this country and for the leadership of this world. And so we invite you to come forward to bring your prayer requests at this time. You may take a moment and kneel at the altar if you wish, or hold up your card and an usher will pick them up from you, or you can put them in the collection plate when you go by. Let's sing together In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My cornerstone, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. What every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, up with the precious blood of Christ.
Dear Father, we pray this morning for those who mother, for those who you have entrusted with the care of your precious little ones. We thank you for creating mothers who have their own special gifts and talents. We thank you for the sacrifices that are made by those who teach and heal and help those who are depending on them. We thank you for the time that they give in so many different ways and so many different circumstances. We thank you for those who are tireless, and we pray that you give them strength. We especially pray for those who are bringing up young children in the home, and help them to understand that sometimes the most important world-changing events may be happening right there in their home. We thank you to be the daily bread of those who mother, for teachers and coaches and substitutes, bosses perhaps, for those who mother even though they're not technically a mother. We ask you to be their living water. We ask you to be their source of spiritual and physical strength. And we pray that your grace will be abundant. And most of all, Lord, on this day in which we honor those who mother, may we also love and cherish the special ones who are in their care. May our hearts overflow with gratitude to you. These things we ask in the name of the one who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the ushers come forward to receive the morning offering. And while they are coming, I want to announce to you that the Wednesday night meal has ended for this semester, and we're going to resume early this year. We'll resume those meals and corresponding activities the first week of August at the end of the summer. It's going to be a very short summer, we can tell already. Also, I invite you, if you would like to help defray the cost of the Bibles that were given out this morning, you can mark your envelope or write on your check for the Bibles, and we will see that that gets to where they're supposed to go. And also, I just want to call to your attention, really good work done by Brian and Paula Cooper with enhancing and improving and putting really fattening stuff out in the Welcome Center, right in front of our main door, and that depends entirely on your contribution. There's a contribution box out there every Sunday, and we hope that you will support that ministry as well. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to accept our gifts this morning and remind us to give today. Give in some way every day for the glory of your kingdom. Amen.
Truth and the light. I have the way.
I invite you now to turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ among you. And the kids can come on up for the children's time. If you got a Bible today, bring it with you.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. All right. Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm glad to see you.
I'm glad you're home.
Yes, ma'am. We are too. Good morning. How are you? Good morning, ma'am. Good to see you and also with you.
How are you doing?
Good morning, everybody.
All right, guys. Come on up here.
Good to see everyone today.
Very cool. What? Oh, okay, that's all right. Okay, good. Have a seat.
Okay. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Hey, Lou.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me.
All right. Hi, guys. Well, welcome to the children's portion of today's service. It's very good to see you. So what special day is happening today? Well, there's that too, yes. Okay, I guess that is the special day today. So have you all taken good care of your mamas today and those who mother you? So let me ask you a question. When Mrs. Cooper read the Old Testament scripture this morning, she read a very cool verse from Proverbs, and I'm not going to read it all again, but there's a couple things out of it that I want to point to your attention. Just a couple verses of this that I picked out. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches her hands to the needy. She's not afraid for her household when it snows, for all her household are clothed in crimson. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Now, which one of your mothers does that describe?
Mine.
Okay. Tell me your name, sir. Henry Robert. Henry Robert gets the prize. He was the first one to say mine. But, okay, there is no prize, sorry. But, you know, that is kind of how we think of mothers, that they're just kind of saints.
Well, okay.
We love our mothers, and our mothers love us. But, so let me ask you this. How many of you, have you guys gotten to the point in school where you have learn the difference between nouns and verbs? Okay. Okay, is mother a noun or a verb?
A noun.
Okay, because a noun is the name of a something, right? Okay, very good. Person, thing, or?
Person, place, or thing.
Okay, person, place, or thing. And what's a verb?
An action.
And, okay. So do you think the word mother could be both a noun and a verb?
Yes.
So do you know people who mother, who for it applies to them as a verb, who may not be your mother and who may not be a mother the noun at all? Their mother's the verb. Because it's mothering can be something that we do. And we have some very wonderful mothers in this church. Bob Pottle comes to mind. Bob is a wonderful mother because
He takes care of people in the hospital all the time. Jim McDivitt and Mike Puckett. Okay, sorry, Mike. Couldn't think of your name. Mike Puckett and Jim McDivitt go visit people in the nursing homes all the time, and they mother those people. Then we have the mother of the whole church, just about. Pat Goodwin is a mother to all of the people who constantly call up and are asking for help. And she is a mother, the noun, and a mother, the verb, because she does both. And so today, I just want you to think about, and I'm sorry, I forgot to have you look up that proverb in your Bibles, but when you get home, look at Proverb 31, I think, and in your new Bibles, and take a look at that, and see if I can identify people that you know that do those things. And when you say your prayers tonight, thank God for all of the people in your life that mother you. Well, let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for these children and ask you to give them wisdom and strength and to be with them and their mothers of every description. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we'll see you later. All right, bye guys. Whoops. Oh. I'm caught in my robe. Oh. All
right. I lost it too.
You did? Let's see it. I see where your tooth was lost. Let me see it. Oh, that is awesome. Good job. Let us stand together for the reading of our gospel. From the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 25, the second half of 25 through 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And would you join me, please, in a brief word of prayer? O gracious God, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. I ask that the words of my heart and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you and of great value to your people. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to try a little experiment this morning. I have the clicker in my hand, so bear with me. Let's see if I can make it work. Nope, I don't know what to point it at. Point it here? I don't know. John, they said you made it work last week. Do you know which? Just stay there. Which one makes it go? Yay, good job. Okay. Thank you, John. I want it to go back. Okay, all right. Hi. How are you doing? Today we continue our sermon series, which we started a few weeks ago, What Would Jesus Tweet? And on this particular Sunday in May, I'm thinking that he had the opportunity. Jesus would have tweeted, "Best mom ever." Right? Don't you think he would have tweeted something like that? Because he had a pretty amazing mom, right? She was like the mom of all moms. She said yes to God when an angel showed up and told her she was going to be a mama as a young girl. She took care of herself and her cousin while she was pregnant. She gave birth in a barn on a family trip. She entertained shepherds and angels just hours after the delivery. She relocated to another country for the benefit and welfare and protection of her son. There's that story where she put up with a strong-willed teenager. Remember when preteen Jesus stayed in Jerusalem when the rest of the family went back home? She nudged her son to start his new ministry, and she supported him throughout his vocation. What is not to love about Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? And we know that Jesus did love her. He loved her a lot. He honored her. He took care of her, even to the point that while he was hanging on the cross, that scripture that we just read, in his last moments of life, his concern was to make sure that his mother would be cared for. So he put her in the care of his best friend and said, "From now on, it's the two of you. Look after one another." He made arrangements for his mother's care for the rest of her life. Now, obviously, Jesus did not celebrate Mother's Day the way that we do. Hallmark hadn't been invented yet. But we know that he honored his mother. He was taught to do that. All of the Hebrew children were taught to honor their mothers and their fathers. You remember it's part of the Ten Commandments. You remember that? You remember the fifth commandment? Honor your father and mother. That's what Mother's Day and Father's Day are all about. Honor your mother. Yay, moms. Okay. Yay, moms.
Yay, moms.
Okay. Good job. Good job. Now, the thing is, I know it can be a little bit tricky to talk about Mother's Day in front of a large group of people. Because the fact of the matter is that not everyone's experience of Mother's Day is the same. Moms are human beings who have given birth to other human beings. And human beings are not perfect. Every person does not have the same feelings or experience about Mother's Day. Not every mother has warm and fuzzy feelings about her offspring. Not every offspring has warm and fuzzy feelings about their parent. Many of us have lost our mothers. Many of us mothers have lost children. For some, motherhood has been a rather painful experience, and for some, not being a mother has in itself been disappointing. And for those who are completely content with their mother or non-mother status, even for those of us who are good with the way it is, there's always somebody who assumes we should feel a different way than we do. Amen? Mother's Day is not the same experience for us all. And yet every single one of us who's here today is here today because at some point, a mother somewhere produced us. That is our one thing in common. It seems so simple, and yet it's kind of complicated. So for today, how about if we switch this up just a little bit? And let's focus on the one point that we all have in common. Today is a day that is focused on women. Everyone here who knows of a woman, please raise your hand. Okay, this impacts us all. So today, we're going to consider best woman ever. It may take a while with Tina running the slides, but we're going to do it. Because this, honestly, is what every one of us ladies wishes someone would tweet about us. Best woman ever. And we heard about the best woman ever a few moments ago when Paula read to us that scripture from Proverbs, Proverbs 31. A capable wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Doesn't it just make your heart fill with warmth and wonder? Yeah, let's just go through these some of these verses, not necessarily in order, but let's take a look at some of these. A little summary. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Okay, so she is the perfect wife, right? She considers a field, buys it, merchandises the profit. She's a successful businesswoman. She is a master gardener. Huh? Huh? She works out regularly. She serves only imported gourmet food. Not only does she make her own clothes, but she starts with the sheep and shears it and gets the wool and does whatever you do to wool to turn it into yarn. And then she takes the flax, the plant from the field, and she turns it into fabric. She weaves her own fabric. She stays up late to make sure that her work gets done, and yet she gets up in the middle of the night to cook a huge breakfast for everyone. She is charitable, right? She's smart, she is classy, and she has a sense of humor, and she is never grumpy and has a perfect family. This woman must be exhausted. No kidding. If you are starting to feel a little bit less than about yourself, because there is no way that you can live up to this impossibly perfect image, I don't blame you one bit. However, I think we do ourselves a little disservice if we only read Proverbs 31 as a list of one woman's perfect accomplishments, because there's a bigger message here. There are some things that are kind of hidden, tucked into this scripture that every one of us can relate to. It's a hopeful message, an empowering message. It's an encouraging and realistic message. So I would like to offer 5 hidden lessons from the Proverbs 31 woman. And we're going to start at the end of Proverbs 31 because we just really need to get this one out of the way. We need to start at the end of the scripture. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Do you know why the author included this part? Because that woman who's been up all night cooking and making clothes and cleaning probably looks a lot more like this. Okay, maybe it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I'm telling you, that's how I felt right before we walked into worship this morning. The Proverbs 31 woman is not a sized 4 perfect supermodel. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Her beauty comes from the life and the love within her. And she does not have to live up to anyone else's idea of physical perfection. Ladies, this is lesson number 1. You are beautiful because you are a creation of God. You are beautiful because God does not make junk. Your value, your worth, your beauty, your everything comes from being God's precious child. Never, ever think that you are not good enough or good looking enough. Beauty is not about how you look. Beauty is about who made you and who you are. You are beautiful. Look at a woman near you and tell her you are gorgeous. Lesson number 2. They're getting real excited back here in the choir. Lesson number 2, you have an important purpose. I think there's a little bit of a tendency for us to assume that women of biblical times were shut away at home having children and letting their husbands run the world. But I'm telling you, this Proverbs 31 woman challenges this image a little bit. Not only does she tend to her own family. She's raising successful children. She's supporting a successful husband. But not only does she tend to them, this lady has influence in the community. She is very aware of the needs and the social issues that are going on around her in her city. She's feeding the hungry. She's providing for the needy. That line about she supplies the merchant with sashes. See, not only is this lady designing her own fashion line of clothing, but she's supplying the local marketers. She is supplying the goods to the local retail businessmen of her city. This lady knows what's happening in her community. She's taking part in what is happening in her community. And because of that, people know who she is and they think highly of her. She has, you have, a very important purpose, not only in your home, but in the world. Lesson number three, God wants you to follow your dreams. Now this one is important because it may sound a little bit counterintuitive. All of us who have been raised in the church have been taught the importance of putting others first. Jesus was very clear about this, and it is a truth of Christ. Serve one another. Love one another. Turn the other cheek. Jesus was all about making sure that we were paying attention to the people around us, caring for them, putting them first, and making sure that the needs of others were fulfilled. However, loving others and serving others does not mean that we are being asked to give up our own dreams and passions. Following our dreams and pursuing our passions is actually the very best way to serve others. Just think for a moment about what you love to do. What's your passion? What is it that you can't wait to go spend some time doing? What is it that once you get started in it, you just become so engrossed in that activity that you lose track of time and can't believe how the hours fly by? What's your passion? Is there creative endeavor? Art or crafts or music? Is your passion working with animals or working with children? Is it increasing your mind and learning new things or hiking or running and participating in sports? Is it gardening or decorating or cooking or traveling? What is it that fills you up and makes you feel refreshed and renewed and alive? That is your passion. And God put that passion in your heart. So ladies and gentlemen, pursue it. Develop it. Get really good at whatever it is that you love to do. Spend time with other people who share the same passion. And before you know it, you are going to find that God will use your passion in a way that goes much beyond what you ever considered possible. You know, last week, Laird and I were on vacation, and last Sunday, we took Buttercup the horse to a horse show, and it was a hoot. We had an awfully good time, but the best part of the day was that we had been invited, before the horse show began, to lead a few minutes of cowboy worship. You remember a couple weeks ago I asked if anybody wanted to play guitar and come and help us do cowboy worship? Well, it turns out that, oh boy, that's weird. Oh, fiddlesticks. I thought there was gonna be a really good picture in here. Well, anyway, talk to me later, because I've got a really good picture of John Markham, who not only plays the guitar, he plays the banjo. And he came out and before worship Before the horse show, we led about 15 or 20 minutes of cowboy worship. John played the banjo. He is very good, by the way. He played the banjo. We sang a couple songs. We read some scriptures. There was a teeny tiny little message. We prayed. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And for the rest of the day, people would come to me and say, oh, thank you so much for having worship this morning. Can we do this every time before a horse show on a Sunday? Because we really need this. So last Tuesday, at our administrative council meeting, your leadership approved that First United Methodist Church is going to sponsor cowboy worship before the Pecos Valley Horsemen horse shows that they have here in Roswell. They do four of them a year. There are two more coming up this year. It's very, very short, but we're going to go out. We're going to lead a few minutes of worship. We're going to take donuts and coffee and minister to those who are out at the horse show and let God use us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in a way that we hadn't even thought about before. And it's all because God and my husband let me get a horse. How sweet is that? You have talents and interests and passions, and God will use those in ways beyond you ever imagined. This Proverbs 31 woman, she obviously has some creative ability, and she puts it to use. She spins and she weaves, she makes garments and she sells them. This is a working mom who is good at what she does. She makes a plan and she follows through, and she benefits from it. Let her works praise her in the city gates. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands. God gives you abilities and interests for a reason. Pursue those interests, and God will use them not only for your purposes, but for His. Lesson number four. You don't have to do it all by yourself. Now, pay attention. Pay attention to this little verse right here. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her servant girls. This woman has help. She has hired help to come into her house. The reason she can accomplish that huge, unimaginable list of cool stuff is because she has underlings. She has people working for her. Her husband supports her in what she does. Now I know, I get it. Most of us do not have a household staff. Not everyone has a partner to go through life with. But the point of this to me is this. Even if you can't afford to hire someone, even if you are alone, you don't have to do everything by yourself. That's why God gave you friends. That's why God gave you a church family. That's why God gave us each other. Seek out good people in your life who are going to support you and encourage you and pitch in when a helping hand is needed. And if people don't seem to realize when you need some help, ask them. No one can read your mind. And most of us are very willing and eager to lend a hand to a friend. So don't think that you have to handle the world all alone. Don't think that you by yourself have to carry the weight of burdens and tasks. Let others know when you need some assistance, and then when the time comes, you'll have an opportunity to repay them by helping them out too. You don't have to do everything by yourself. Lesson number five. take care of yourself. Once again, pay attention. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now hear this. Not only does she take good care of herself physically, but she goes out and buys herself a little purple outfit. Huh? She takes care of herself, and so should you. You deserve a little pampering. You cannot take care of others if you don't take care of yourself first. You need rest. You need to stimulate your mind. You need to feed your body. You need to do things that feed your soul. And every now and then, you need to go out and buy a little something new to make you feel good about yourself. Now, I am not talking to the shopaholics here among us, and you know who you are. I'm talking to the women who always put everybody else before them and sacrifice to the point that you don't feel like you deserve anything special. Take care of yourself. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. The underlying assumption is that you love yourself, not to the detriment of other people, but to the point that you build yourself up so that you can be the best that you can be. Love yourself. And finally, lesson number 6, and most important, oh dear, the most important one's not going to come up. Okay, I'll just say it. Focus on God. Say it back. Focus on God. When we put God first, all the rest of this stuff falls into place. When we intentionally draw closer to Jesus, just thought maybe, when we intentionally draw closer to Jesus and learn more about him and put our lives in his hands, everything else comes together. Because all the rest of who we are and, oh, there it is, all the rest of who we are and what we do depends on this. God first, and everything else will work. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to be perfect. You don't have to be a parent. You don't have to be this fabulous person who can do it all and be happy in the midst of all of it. God has created you just the way he wants you to be. So embrace that. Claim it. Be you. And know that whether it's Mother's Day or Father's Day or any other day of the year, God has created you to be someone special. You have permission to embrace this day as your day. Happy Mother's Day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let us join together in the singing of our closing hymn. I invite you to stand if you would like to answer the call of God upon your heart to place your membership in this church or to claim Christ as your Savior. Come forward during the singing of our hymn, and we will welcome you with open and loving arms. Let us stand and sing together.
Every blessing.
A very special thanks to the women of our prayer shawl ministry and many others who pitched in to make the little hearts, the little personal prayer shawls that you received. Make sure that everyone who is a female, young or old, gets to take one of those. That's for you to carry in your pocket or your purse and know that you are surrounded by God's prayers. And we have many of them. So if you would like to take one for a neighbor or a family member or friend, please do so. Now, go forth knowing that you are indeed the person who God created just the way He wants you to be. So go forth knowing that you are special, you are beloved, you have a purpose, and you are the apple of God's eye. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Mm-hmm.